This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
That's the other voice. It's Jeff Lagerman here with .com himself, Jaguars' Vic Ketchman, senior editor of Jaguars.com.
Hope,
is that right?
I hope I
okay,
still am.
Okay, you still got it? Freshly
back. I haven't asked.
From the mountains of North Carolina, how was it?
Oh, I just love it.
Yeah?
Didn't break a sweat.
Really?
I just what a glorious place.
The
Smokies are just fabulous.
Did you step away from football altogether? No computers, internet?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, in fact, when I came back, I found...
You're usually not that way.
You know, I have to, you know, get that constant internet fix, you know, checking here, checking there. Didn't do any of that. I couldn't do any of that. In fact, when I came back, I found out Michael Jackson had died, and I was so surprised.
Okay.
So I missed all the coverage.
Well, I'm sure that if you wanted it, you could have gotten it when you got back, because it has been certainly covered from beginning to end, and no end, really.
You know, Jeff, while I was gone, the Jaguars traded Dennis Northcutt for Gerald Alexander, the safety from the Lions, and I knew nothing about Gerald Alexander.
Did you know anything about a possible looming trade?
Well, I felt that Dennis Northcutt's days were numbered, and here's why. What would his role have been? Well, he would have ended up, this team, in my opinion, and I thought of this while, in one of the final OTAs practices, I could remember standing there watching Dennis Northcutt catch a pass and thinking to myself, this guy isn't going to be on this team this year. And the reason I thought that was, what would his role have been? They clearly want to move Jarrett Dillard into that third receiver, slot receiver, possession receiver role. They want to groom him in that.
Or any of the rookies.
Yeah, all three of those guys are going to make the team.
Because if you had, you know, Torrey Holt and then Mike Walker, who they really like, and hopefully he can stay healthy and play. But then if you had Dennis Northcutt, then you got three veteran guys. Where are the reps for the rookies?
Mm-hmm. So what I sort of felt was, this was a situation very similar to the running back from LSU. Ah, oh, forget his name.
Running back?
LeBrandon Tofield.
Okay.
LeBrandon Tofield didn't make the team 1 year because, he was on the team all year, but he was deactivated because there was no role for him. Remember, he was deactivated for every game. Even though he was their third best running back, he was deactivated for every game because he couldn't return punts. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they had to activate Pierman. So there was no role for him. Well, I think the Jaguars would have ended up probably having to deactivate. And I think this is part of the thing on Fred, too, part of cutting Fred. There wouldn't have been a role for him. You know, he wasn't a third down back. He wasn't a short yardage back. He wasn't a goal line back. If Maurice Jones-Drew was going to be your premier back, what was Fred's role going to be? But anyhow, Northcutt, I think, would have ended up being deactivated at some point during the season. And then you say, and then, you know, how do you justify the salary? And his salary was going to get kind of pricey. How do you justify the salary you're paying to deactivate a guy?
So what are you hearing on... Yeah. Safety Gerald Alexander.
Well, that's what I really wanted to get to. I knew nothing about Gerald Alexander, so when I got back, I started to call this guy and call that guy. What can you tell me? Well, this is what I'm getting. I'm getting a lot of guys telling me that the Jaguars pulled off a swipe, that they got something good, that they really helped themselves, got a steal. At a position of intense need for this team, and if you don't think this team perceives itself as having needed safety, then please consider that they that they signed Marlon McCree. They traded for Gerald Alexander. They signed Kennard Cox off Green Bay's practice squad late last season.
Sean Considine.
They signed Sean Considine. I mean, they are. This team has been manic in the offseason to increase the competition at safety. And I've had some scouts. I've had a lot of these guys have told me, man, that was a really, really good deal. Now, everyone, the fans are concerned about this neck injury. And I'm here to tell you, don't worry about that. He had a fusion. And
But even with a fusion, I mean, Daryl Moose Johnson
had one
in Dallas.
Brad Johnson played with it, won a Super Bowl with it.
Did Michael Irvin have one?
I don't know, but Chris Wanky had one.
The quarterbacks. But the one encouraging thing.
I'll give you a guy, defensive end named Keith Willis, a guy from your time, had a neck fusion. That's a headbutt position.
Yeah.
Bull rush. He was a bull rush kind of guy, too. He played most of his career with a neck fusion. What they do is they take the broken disc out and put a bone in, and then the body fuses with calcium, fuses that bone graft to the vertebra above and below. So it's like a brick.
Yeah.
I mean, you may blow out a disc somewhere else, but you're not going
right.
you're not going to hurt that level.
But I remember talking to Daryl Johnson kind of towards the end after he'd had his neck fixed, and Daryl told me, because I'd asked him, you know, I'd had a C5 disc herniation, C5-6 herniation in my career, and so I was asking Daryl how his neck was, how was it post-operative, you know, the results on the field, and he said that the lack of range of motion certainly hindered him, and he said he just got sore everywhere else. He said, but that particular area was fine. You know, and if any position on the field can come back from that, a fullback would be the least likely position that you would think that a guy could come back. And Daryl did come back, but Daryl did say that it wasn't like it just took away the problem. He said that he did have issues and that it was a problem going forward, but there was no concern about that section of the neck. But because you take three sections and make it one, then you're worried about either side of that, you know,
three levels. And you make them one, and in time you worry about above and below because it puts more stress on them as you get older. Now Henderson's fusion, he told me all this. I didn't snoop into any records. He was very forthcoming with the information. Is all the way down at C7, C8, so it's not a range of motion issue. That's almost down
between the shoulder blades.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. So the Lions drafted Lewis Delmas from Western Michigan with the 33rd overall pick. He's a safety. Remember now, it wasn't the Martin Mayhew administration regime that drafted Gerald Alexander, so they drafted Lewis Delmas. He's their guy, and they had to make room for him. There was no sense carrying Alexander because Delmas was their guy, and he was going to be the free safety. So they pulled the trigger on the trade, and everything I'm getting back is good, good, good. And I mean, both thumbs up for the Jaguars on that. They addressed an area of intense need.
It's going to be
interesting. And he's a young guy. He's a second-round pick in 07. And, you know, the interesting thing, I'm sorry, Jeff, the interesting thing is that the Jaguars love this guy coming out of Boise State. If they hadn't picked Reggie Nelson, if they had picked Brady Quinn in 07, Gerald Alexander may have been or probably would have been their pick in the second round.
That's going to make, it's going to make training camp very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Watching that position, because a position that kind of lacked competition at the beginning of OTAs has now all of a sudden taken on a different look.
And Sean Considine, and this isn't just my observation, I had this confirmed, was clearly the best safety on the field in OTAs. He got his hands on more passes and made more plays on the ball than any safety on the team.
And we had him on the show a couple weeks ago.
How'd it go?
In your absence. Great guy. All right, we're going to take a break right here on Jaguars This Week. This is Jeff Loggeman. And don't forget, every Wednesday night, right here on WOKV, we have Vic Ketch, myself, Brian Sexton. And when do we go to 2 hours?
August.
Okay, we're going to tell people on the other side of this break. Back on Jaguars This Week. presented by Aetna. Folks, don't forget, when you're looking for a department store at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 7 Jacksonville location Stein Mart. Once you go, you get it. Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, and we were talking about safety Gerald Alexander. It's going to make things interesting. We also had mentioned about this show going to 2 hours, and the start date for that is going to be August 12th. And, that's your birthday? Hey, Joe's birthday, folks. Get your presents and gifts ready. Send it right here to One Stadium Place, care of Jaguars This Week, Joe Fortunato. By the way, I have to tell you this, because I was watching a movie on television the other day, and I said, oh, my God, it's Joe Fortunato.
Oh, here we go.
What movie now, star?
Okay, Crocodile Dundee.
Okay.
You remember the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody remembers that movie.
Was it Crocodile?
No. Okay. Do you remember the cab driver who... there's a cab driver that takes Crocodile Dundee to a bar to have a drink, whatever he calls it, and kind of Australian thing. And it was kind of funny when Crocodile Dundee checked this, what appeared to be a woman. The cab driver said, I'm telling you, it's a guy. I'm telling you, he looks exactly like Joe Fortunato. Folks, if you watch the movie this week, because it was on television. Yeah, the first one.
I would never mistake Joe for a woman.
The very first one. I mean, the guy's got same face, same look and everything. Anyway.
Lift your shirt, Joe.
Anyway, what a tragedy.
Yeah.
4th of July with Steve McNair, and the news came out today that they have ruled it a murder-suicide in Nashville, and the police, took their time, evaluated all the information. They were talking about gunpowder residue. I think they did the right thing in that, they didn't rush to judgment. They suggested that it could be this, but let's wait until we gather all of the facts. But what a tragedy, and my heart goes out to the family, the wife and the family, and especially the kids that Steve McNair has. And I know Nashville. I mean, Nashville has, I think, similar thoughts. You know, it's a warm spot in their heart to those that early team. You know, in Nashville, and Steve McNair is part of that.
For to make sure that I just want to say my heart goes out to the family here who lost their daughter to. Nobody wants to affix blame. Just, everybody wishes that kind of this thing didn't happen. Steve McNair has 4 sons. One of them is a senior in high school this year, and he's a prospect. He's a recruit. This would have been a fall when Steve McNair would have been able to revel in watching his son become him.
Yeah.
I mean,
to enjoy being a parent.
Yes, yeah. To see his son, to see himself play. Mm-hmm. We're as fathers, we're all egotistical in that way. I have 2 sons, and I watch them play baseball, and I live vicariously through them. And you're going to do that too.
Oh yeah.
Just 36 years old. That's all. He had a brief career. And it's You see it come across the crawl on ESPN, and when I saw it come across the call, across the crawl, of course it just said Steve McNair has died as a result of a gunshot wound, and of course, being in the news business, there are signals you know of how things are worded, what they mean. My first reaction was it was suicide, and then for it to come out like this, I guess there's no really good way for it to happen, but this was really bad. Those poor kids have to live with that. His wife,
and then obviously the wife dealing with the circumstances doesn't make it any easier.
They're saying he was asleep when he was shot. I guess that's a good thing.
I don't know. To me, obviously you don't want to see a guy that that suffers or,
no.
or anything
or
know, of that nature.
Or know that the end is...
Yeah, but, I mean, there's no good way, I guess you could say, especially right. when you're murdered.
He, of course, everyone, all the Jaguars fans who are sending me emails about this, they want to go right away to the January 23rd, 2000 AFC title game when he was in the second half just out of this world. Everyone, I think, remembers the game-clinching touchdown run he had. Would he go like 40 yards up the middle? I mean, the guy could run as well as he threw, and in the beginning he ran better than he threw. One of the things that I'll remember about him, because, I mean, all you guys are good players. You all had your moments. We all have plays to remember. But he was a guy, when you got him on a conference call, and the media does conference calls with the opposing coach and a star player from the opposing team, usually the quarterback, the week of the game, it was as though Steve McNair called you.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very pleasant and would stay on the phone for as long as you needed him. He was a really social guy. He was a fan of the game. He was old school. That's what I'm going to remember. The plays, everyone's got plays.
Yeah, I bet to me, what I'm going to remember most about him as a player, because I didn't really have a whole lot of interaction, but as a player, great competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Great competitor. And to me, I think that's the greatest compliment that you can play anybody that's played the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that somebody was a great competitor because he never gave up. And his ability to extend the play was Elway-esque,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say.
No, there's no question.
In the modern era.
Do you remember how...
Had a great arm.
Do you remember the phrase, Dare McNair?
Yeah.
Okay. Which was very insulting. In other words, it was stop the run and make Steve McNair beat you. Because after a while, they weren't Dare McNair anymore.
No.
I mean, you wanted Eddie George to have the ball, not Steve McNair.
Yeah, because when he had the ball in his hands, he was... And I don't want... I guess you just... maybe taken or could be taken the wrong way, but he was what Vince Young was at Texas. You know, he was Ben Roethlisberger before Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did those kind of plays. Was he Hall of Fame type player? No, but a very, very good football player.
Well, here's a little trivia for you. The first two quarterbacks taken in that draft were Steve McNair, I think was like the ninth pick or eighth pick or something like that. Kerry Collins was the...
First overall.
No, Kajana Carter was. Then Boselli, third. Carolina traded the pick to Cincinnati, who took Kajana Carter. The Jaguars took Tony, and then Carolina, which moved to three, took Kerry Collins. So here's Kerry Collins quarterbacking the Titans, for whom Steve McNair started.
Hmm.
Same draft.
That's amazing. Yeah, I don't know exactly what more is going to come out on that. Is this going to be? Because you know what when the final word comes out, when it's somebody that's famous like that that's killed, doesn't the speculation kind of start? You know, is that what happened? Because people want more.
Yeah, but you know you wanted to get something. You wanted to get closure on this because you don't want the wife to be part of speculation or rumors, you know.
But will today provide that?
Yeah, as far as I could see, what was said on ESPN this afternoon, late this afternoon, was that they have decided it's final. It was a murder-suicide, and that's that.
All right, well, fans get Jaguars news as it happens by texting alerts to 58154. That's keyword alerts to 58154 to receive Jaguars news and information straight to your mobile phone. Standard messaging charges apply. Text STOP to quit. Phew. That's kind of some pretty intense stuff. My fingers don't move that fast. If you got all that, if not, then call Vic. He'll give you all the detailed information. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember, stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John Town Center. Jeff Loggeman here, along with Vic Ketchman, who is... refreshed and ready to go back to work as the season soon approaches. What, inside of 4 weeks? Report date is August 2nd. Jaguars signed one so far. Is that correct? The tight end from...
Zach Miller.
Zach Miller, who played...
I know they signed him. Did they sign anybody else?
That's the only one that I know of. So
okay.
Unless got inside information.
What a delight.
I know you and Paul Vance have dinner quite often.
I have no inside information on that.
Oh, you're just not allowed to talk about
it. No, I have. Look, Monroe's got to be tough to sign. He's got to be. You got this. He's Monroe was Monroe 8 or 9?
Number 8.
Okay, and we know what 8 got last year, $17.5 million. All right, the same team.
Same team.
Jacksonville at 8 last year, again at 8 this year. So, it's almost as though Monroe is going to use the Jaguars against themselves, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough signing him. I don't envy Paul Vance. He's got it, and they will. This team will not. In my opinion, will not allow their first round pick for a second consecutive year to affect a long training camp holdout. No, I really believe.
Have you gotten any input? We had talked about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Because we were talking about the dynamic of signing him and with the other tackles that are also in that top tier of the first round.
Yep, I know what you're going to say.
And we were talking about the agent.
Right.
Has there been any comment about the history of the agent and how easy or not easy it has been to sign his clients?
Well, the key element here is Justin Smith at pick 2, the Rams, because he's the highest tackle on the board. And 2 is really high. So I think it's going to be tough to get Eugene Monroe's agent to move before Justin Smith does, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, usually it works the other way. It works its way up. Because the agent has more to lose above more so than below. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Because, and the reason I say that, if you have two offensive tackles or two players, doesn't even really matter what position it is, and you got one player at number 5 and one player at number 6, the agent who has the number 5 player is never in a hurry until he sees number six's numbers, mm-hmm. because he doesn't want to do a deal that's less
okay.
than number 6.
So let me ask you a question. You're the agent for Eugene Monroe, and I'm the Jaguars, and I want to get this done. I'm afraid of Justin Smith, and I don't want another holdout. Are you going to settle for anything less than what Derek Harvey got without Justin Smith being done?
No.
Okay, well, so we start with that.
I would think that the agent would approach it as that's the floor.
Right, so we know right off the bat that Derek Harvey...
And more than likely, you know what he's going to want? Plus 10%.
Right. I was going to say plus 7. Isn't 7% kind of the 7 to 10%?
Well, yeah, but I mean, in the last couple of years, that's been a problem with the draft.
So that's another $1.7
million.
It used to be
7%, but it's crept. And how in the world can the agents justify asking for a 10% increase with the way the economy of everything
now we're at $19 million, but you see $17.5 million for Derek Harvey last year was just seen as a terrible it was seen as a terrible thing for this team to have to cough up $17.5 million, especially after the guy missed the whole training camp.
You know what the best thing
so if you're going to have to cough it up, you sure don't want him to miss training camp.
You know what the best thing that you can do? Just make sure that you're not in that upper tier of round one, and then you don't have to worry about paying those incredible signing bonuses. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, but
win.
Have win. You win, and then you win two ways. You win on the scoreboard and in the win-loss column, and then you win the next year when it comes to draft time because you're not having to worry about signing a pick that's going to be asking for – $25 million maybe next year in the top 10.
Listen, when they drafted Derek Harvey last year, I can remember saying, boy, I wouldn't want to be Paul Vance, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a defensive end, pass rusher, top 10 guy. Coming off a Super Bowl in which the Giants sacked Tom Brady with their defensive ends, you know, their O.C. Umenyora and Justin Tuck, and made the defensive end position more glitzy than ever,
mm-hmm.
right? I said, boy, I sure wouldn't want to be Paul Vance. And I can remember after the Jaguars got Harvey done, I can remember it being said, Well, we'll have to, we'll make sure we're not in that position next year. Son of a gun. If they didn't get right back in, not only in the same area, the same position, the exact same spot, except this time not a pass rusher, a premier pass blocker. It's almost eerie.
Have you heard positive or negative any feedback on Derek Harvey from the OTAs?
Nothing that would lead you to have an opinion one way or the other,
which is kind of concerning.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because you know you want to hear something, and in the OTAs, because there are no pads, I mean, you would expect to hear something positive. And I've seen stuff that's been okay, and you know we've watched, and I haven't seen anything that's made me go, wow.
Here's what you're asking.
He needs to have an outstanding camp.
What you're asking, I think, is, has anyone said to me, wow, man, Harvey's got a move you can't believe? No, I haven't had anyone say that to me.
Because he needs that.
Yeah.
Now, I want somebody to say to me, because I've got pretty good trained eye as far as that position goes.
Ten years playing the position.
And so I'm watching him pretty close. I'm watching him, and I'm watching Groves very, very close. And I've seen more effort. I've seen some athleticism, but I haven't been wowed yet. And, you know, top 10 pick, every now and again you want to go, wow, that was nice.
$17.5 million was a bitter pill for that for this team to swallow. I think it will be less bitter for them to swallow this year for a couple reasons. Number one, they didn't do what they did in free agency a year ago. They didn't throw around $25 million. It turned out it was wasted. They aren't carrying the payroll they carried a year ago. That's number one. Number two, I think there's a much greater sense of security with Eugene Monroe than there was with Derek Harvey. I think based not only on his career at Virginia, but on what they saw in OTAs, they know this guy's blue chip. They know this is a can't miss.
He looked good.
He's got the feet. He's got the hands. And he's sharp. He's bright. He looks like a pro.
He looked like the second year guy or the guy coming into a second year. You know what I mean? I mean, he looked more advanced than Derek Harvey when they competed against each other.
If you had come into OTAs and you knew nothing, and you were asked, well, what do you think of 73, Eben Britton, and what do you think of 75, Eugene Monroe, you would probably guess that Eben Britton is a rookie and Eugene Monroe is 5 years in the league.
All right, let's take a break here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com to play the AMC Theaters Movie Trivia Challenge. It's your chance to win free movie tickets and more. And, Vic, you may get yourself a free movie ticket to go see one of the new movies. Transformers, by the way. I did see that. Very exciting movie. And I saw, two movies this week with the rain. Ice Age 3 in 3D.
Ah, you got the kid.
Of course.
That's what that's
I've all seen
about.
All the kid movies. But anyway, we had a conversation during the break, and
let me ask
pose
you.
The question.
Okay, let me pose the question to you. This is classic July dead zone stuff. Hey, it's fun sometimes. My question is to you, Jeff, what is the thing about this team that makes you feel best and the thing that concerns you the most?
Okay. And a good question for the listeners. And they can call 355-NFL-1.
We're running out of time, but what the heck?
6351, and also 1-800 if you're outside the calling area. The thing that concerns me the most by far is the defensive line.
I can understand it.
To me, that is number one, and it's not even there's not even a debate that you could bring in another position group. The question mark of John Henderson this offseason, you know, the things going on with head coach Jack Del Rio and John and the comments that were made and the shoulder, You thought it kind of was just going to end when John had his conversation with the media. Mm-hmm. Well, then he didn't really participate much in the practices after that. Nope. Because of that, because of Derek Harvey, will he be able to live up to the expectations of a mm-hmm. top 10 pick? Not about money, just about a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Quentin Groves also. I mean, these two guys were drafted to solve the Peyton Manning problem.
They gave their they gave their draft away for
these two guys. Paul Spicer's gone. Rob Meyer had a kind of an off year last year. You know, that position group, I mean, put the microscope on it. That's where it needs to go.
Thing that makes you feel best about this team?
To me, probably the other side of that, the offensive line. And not because it's solved right away, but they re-sign Brad Meester. You get Mo Williams back from a biceps injury. You get Vince Monawai, who seems to be right on pace to return from an ACL reconstruction. He's back. You got good repetitions last year to some guys that had to fill in. Tony Pashos returns. You signed Philadelphia Eagles left tackle
Trey Thomas.
You've drafted two guys high. To me, that's the most exciting position that there's going to be to watch.
More so than wide receiver, where you got three rookies and maybe more?
Yes.
Okay.
Just because of the depth and probably because of the number of positions. I mean, you got five that are on the field at one time with offensive line, wide receiver group. I would say that I'm not most excited about that because it has a lot of question marks. Torrey Holt's knee. Mike Walker's ability to stay healthy. The rookies. To me, that would probably be the second position group that I'm most concerned about.
Wide receivers?
Just because it's unproven.
Really? You're concerned about it?
I'm concerned about it, but I'm also excited about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go. Because I think it's going to be a standout group. By midseason, I think it's going to knock your socks off.
Yeah, and so I could go both ways on that. But the offensive line.
If you were allowed to include Zach Miller in that group, and I think you should because he's going to be a pass receiving mm-hmm. tight end, I think the receiving core is going to be a real positive with this team. The thing I feel best about with this team right now is that they are doing right things. They are doing it the right way. Gene Smith is doing a fabulous job. They are rebuilding this team the right way.
All right, now you got to answer your own question. Okay? Mm-hmm. The group that you're most concerned about.
My greatest concern about this team.
Or the greatest concern.
Is the quarterback position. They weren't able to get that developmental guy, that young player.
You're looking at big picture.
Yeah. But I'm also looking at the now picture, the present picture. Present tense picture, because with all due respect to Todd Bowman, he hasn't played much football in a long time. If something was to happen to David Garrard, it could sabotage the year. It would immediately sabotage the year. This team is thin. It's rebuilding, and it desperately needs for its quarterback to give it the kind of stability and consistency it needs to allow the young players to grow into their roles. If David Garrard was to have a 2007 kind of season, and this team was to somehow make it through that tough opening stretch, the schedule softens. Who knows? Maybe they could grow into their roles by the second half of the season and make it interesting. I'm not going to go beyond that with my expectations.
All right. So, what do you feel good about?
I feel
about Gene and the direction.
The fact that this team's arrow is pointing up. The fact that they have done everything the right way. They have stocked this roster with every player they could find who has the talent to make them believe and that they are in fact a threat to make the roster. That they are somebody who's worthy of the uniform they're going to be wearing on the practice field. And every one of the guys, Jack Del Rio to Terry McDonough to Gene Smith, all of them said their best feeling about this team is that there isn't anybody on that field during OTAs. There wasn't anybody on that field who didn't fit, who looked like they shouldn't have been there.
All right, now let me ask you another question because I think this is leading into camp. Give me one person that you're most anxious to see in the developmental process? So I'm pointing to rookies or young players. Who are you most anxious to see?
Well, the answer's got to be the answer's got to be Eugene Monroe, because he's going to be the centerpiece of this rebuilding. But I got this little thing for Tyquan Underwood, because he has the ability to be the big play receiver, mm-hmm. the go up and get it, the get deep big play receiver this team hasn't had since Jimmy Smith. Now, I'm not saying he's gonna be that guy, but he has skills we haven't seen here. He has big play potential we haven't seen in a long time.
All right, let's put the phone number out there. So let's bring up Chris and get his comments.
You gotta be quick.
Right, good evening, Chris. We gotta be fairly quick.
Coach brought in a new strength and conditioning guy, or a new weightlifting guy. I want to hear the feedback, because evidently this guy's going more with flexibility and core training versus mm-hmm. lifting weights and the normal stuff. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, they played paintball today.
They did. They had a little paintball thing. feedback has been fantastic mm-hmm. from coaches to players. They're even getting the coaches in shape. Let's go to Morgan in St. Augustine. Morgan, go ahead.
I wanted to say I'm really, really excited about this year. The wife and I were on the fence about renewing our season tickets. The Jags have made all the right moves in this offseason. God bless them, guys. I'm telling you, really, really excited about this year. I wasn't one of those who went into last season with rose-colored glasses, because I went to the preseason games, and I saw that we were getting beat all over the field on both sides of the ball. I know the Titans game decimated our line, but we have deeper problems than that. They've addressed some of those problems.
I agree with him. I think he's spot on.
Morgan, I think you're right on, and I think the reason to be most excited about the season is what Gene Smith has brought to this organization. Now, let me give you my person real quick before we roll out of here. The person that I am most anxious to see when the pads go on, obviously first-round pick, yes. But past that, the gentleman that we had here on this show last week, Rashad Jennings.
I heard about his interview.
We had Rashad Jennings mm-hmm. on for two segments. The guy, first of all, he's a great guy, great interview, mm-hmm. but I really believe it. In this league, you got to have two backs.
Yep.
And Maurice Drew hasn't had to be the feature back. He's going to have somebody help him carry the load. There's never been a running back in franchise history that's been able to carry it by themselves. He, I think, is the real key to this offense and the defense, because if they can control the clock, the defense stays off the field. I want to see him, the big back in pass. Talk to everybody next week. Vic, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.